Hi, I'm Ahwan, and this is I Revise Ophthalmology, the medical revision podcast that's easy to listen to. In this episode, we'll be covering glaucoma. Don't forget to download the visual aid for this podcast, and you can find the link to that in the description above. Glaucoma can be classified into primary and secondary, and we'll be focusing on primary glaucoma, which can be further classified into open and closed angle. Primary open angle glaucoma, which is the topic of this episode, is a chronic condition. What is glaucoma? Glaucoma is an eye condition in which there's progressive damage to the optic nerve head. This condition is commonly mistaken as a condition of raised intraocular pressure, which isn't exactly true. Raised intraocular pressure is a risk factor for glaucoma. In glaucoma, there's gradual loss of retinal ganglion cells, which leads to early peripheral visual loss, and this gets progressively worse, and then you get central visual loss. There's very insidious visual loss in glaucoma, and glaucoma is the second leading cause of blindness in the world, with open angle glaucoma being the most common type. And in this episode, we'll be going through primary open angle glaucoma. We'll cover acute angle closure glaucoma in another episode. The pathophysiology of glaucoma isn't really fully understood, but like we've already mentioned, you get atrophy of the retinal ganglion cells. In patients who have a raised intraocular pressure, the degeneration of these cells occurs much faster. And this could be due to compression of retinal ganglion cells. Another theory is that there is poor blood flow to the retina, and this could be contributing to ischemic cell death. The degeneration of the retinal ganglion cells can be visualized on the retina when examining the optic discs. When looking at the discs, you can see the disc and the cup, and in glaucoma, you get something called cupping, where there's an increased cup to disc ratio. A normal cup to disc ratio is around 0.5. Any greater than 0.6, and we're going into glaucoma territory. So let's cover some basic anatomy that you need to know for glaucoma. So the intraocular pressure within the eye is maintained by the aqueous humor, and this is produced and secreted by the ciliary body into the posterior chamber. It then travels to the iris and into the anterior chamber via the pupil, and it then drains through the trabecular meshwork into the canal of Schlemm. The aqueous humor can also drain through the uveoscleral route, where it's absorbed into the venous circulation. 90% of aqueous humor drains through the trabecular meshwork, and the remaining 10% drains via the uveoscleral drainage system. The balance between the aqueous production and drainage is what maintains the intraocular pressure. And in glaucoma, typically, you'll see elevated pressures within the eye, but you can also get normal pressures. So there are a few risk factors for glaucoma, and we've already mentioned one of them, that's raised intraocular pressure. A normal eye pressure would be between 10 and 22, so an intraocular pressure of greater than 22 or 23 increase your risk of developing glaucoma. Other risk factors include age greater than 50, a family history, being myopic or short-sighted, diabetes, hypertension, and also certain ethnic groups are at higher risk of developing glaucoma, such as people from Afro-Caribbean backgrounds would be at increased risk of developing glaucoma. And this is because of anatomical variations within the eye, which are characteristic of this particular ethnic group. Diagnosis of primary open angle glaucoma is by a combination of measuring intraocular pressure, monitoring for disc changes, and also monitoring for visual field loss. There are a few investigations that we can do in patients with suspected glaucoma. So like we've mentioned, intraocular pressure can be measured using tonometry. And in eye clinic, this is usually done using Goldman's applanation tonometry or using a tonneau pen. And like I've said, a pressure of 10 to 22 is a normal intraocular pressure. And anything greater than that is characteristic of glaucoma. And if you've ever been for an eye test, you will have had your eye pressures measured using pneumotonometry, where a puff of air is blown into your eye and the machine measures how much air bounces back. So something to take note of is that corneal thickness can impact on the accuracy of pressure readings. A thicker cornea gives you a higher reading, and a thinner cornea will give you a lower reading for the pressure. Think of it like a car tyre. A thick tyre requires more pressure to deform it than a thin tyre. And you can measure corneal thickness using pachymetry, and the average corneal thickness is usually 540 microns. The second thing that requires monitoring is the visual fields. And this is because it's a marker of progress of visual loss. And visual fields are usually monitored by Goldman's or Humphrey's visual field testing. Have a look at the visual aids, which will show you the difference between the two types of visual field tests. Remember that in glaucoma, you get peripheral field loss early on, which is known as arcuate scotoma. And this might not be noticed by the patient immediately, so it's important to record the fields over time with regular follow-up. Finally, the last thing that needs examining is the retina. This is so you can visualize the optic discs, because in glaucoma, you can observe an increased cup to disc ratio, or you might observe that the discs are very asymmetrical. And in glaucoma, you'll usually see a cup to disc ratio greater than 0.6. I'm briefly going to mention the last examination that you can do, which is gonioscopy. You can use gonioscopy to examine the trabecular meshwork, and this is done using a gonioscope, which is a lens that's placed directly onto the eye and gives you a view into the angle where you'll be able to visualize the trabecular meshwork. Treatment of glaucoma is usually lifelong, and the aim of treatment is to optimize intraocular pressure. The goal being to slow down the degenerative changes that occur in glaucoma. And the treatments can be classified into three categories: medical treatments, laser, or surgical intervention. Medical treatment is with topical drops that are commonly used in managing the intraocular pressure of glaucoma patients. You should know the key medical treatments and the way they work. Prostaglandin analogues like latanoprost are one of the first line treatments in glaucoma and is the most effective at decreasing the intraocular pressure. And there's also less systemic side effects than some of the other medical therapies. Prostaglandin analogues work by increasing the uvoscleral outflow of aqueous humor. And you should know some of the key side effects of these medications, such as increased pigmentation of the iris, increased lengthening and thickening of the eyelashes, and darkening of the periocular skin. Another topical drop that's used in glaucoma are beta blocker drops, such as timolol. These drops work by decreasing the production of aqueous humor from the ciliary epithelium. But be warned, these drops can have some significant systemic side effects, such as a drop in blood pressure when the patient's asleep, or bronchospasm, so contraindicated in asthmatics. They can worsen heart failure. They can cause headaches, nausea, and dizziness. Another topical drop used in glaucoma are alpha-2 agonists, such as brimonidine and apraclonidine. Alpha-2 agonists work by causing the ciliary epithelium to decrease aqueous humor secretion, but also to increase uveoscleral outflow. This medication shouldn't be used with monoamine oxidase inhibitors, as it can cause hypertensive crisis. And another thing to warn patients about is that it can cause severe depression. Another group of medications that we use are called carbonic anhydrase inhibitors, such as dorzolamide or brinzolamide. And as the name suggests, these work by inhibiting carbonic anhydrase, which decreases aqueous secretion. The fifth and final medical therapy that we might consider are miotics or muscarinic agonists, such as pilocarpine. And this works by inducing contraction of the sphincter pupillae muscles, which pulls the peripheral iris away from the trabeculum and opens up the angle. These are very rarely used to treat glaucoma due to all the side effects and contraindications associated with them. So now, moving on from medical therapies, another way to treat glaucoma is through laser treatment. And a typical laser treatment for glaucoma could be laser trabeculoplasty. And this just involves doing some laser to the trabecular meshwork to increase aqueous humor outflow via the trabecular meshwork. Finally, you can have surgical therapy, and this is usually reserved for patients who have glaucoma that hasn't been responsive to medical treatment. There are two procedures. The first procedure is a trabeculectomy, and it's the most common procedure for primary open angle glaucoma. And the second procedure is an insertion of a drainage device, which creates a communication between the anterior chamber and the subtenons space, and this facilitates outflow of the aqueous humor to decrease intraocular pressure. So, here we are again, once more, at the test yourself portion of the episode. I'm going to be asking you 5 questions based on the content that we've just covered. Don't worry if you can't answer the questions. You can always go back and listen to the episode again. So, let's begin. Question 1. What is the normal intraocular pressure within the eye? Question 2. What is the normal pathway of aqueous humor from production to exit from the eye? Question 3. How would you examine the angle and get a view of the trabecular meshwork? Question 4. Apart from intraocular pressure, can you name any other risk factors of glaucoma? Question 5. What treatment options are there in primary open angle glaucoma? Can you name a few? Amazing. Good job if you managed to answer all the questions. Now let's go through the answers. So, question one. What is the normal intraocular pressure? Well, a normal pressure would be anywhere between 10 to 20, 21 millimeters of mercury. Question two. What is the normal pathway of aqueous humor? Well, it's produced and secreted by the ciliary body directly into the posterior chamber. It then travels to the iris and into the anterior chamber via the pupil, and then drains out of the anterior chamber via the trabecular meshwork into the canal of Schlemm. And don't forget, there's also uveal scleral drainage. Question three. How would you examine the angle and get a view of the trabecular meshwork? You would do this through gonioscopy using a gonioscope. Question four. Apart from intraocular pressure, can you name any risk factors of glaucoma? Well, some other risk factors of glaucoma are age over 50, family history, myopia, diabetes, hypertension, and being of black ethnic origin. Question 5. What treatment options are there in primary open angle glaucoma? Well, we've covered this extensively in the podcast, but first line treatment would be with medical therapy and would be using topical eye drops such as prostaglandin analogues, beta blocker drops, alpha 2 agonist drops, and carbonic anhydrase inhibitors. Good job getting through those questions, and don't worry if you got any of them wrong. Just go back and listen to the episode again. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of I Revise Ophthalmology with me, your host, Ahwan. I hope that you found this episode helpful and interesting. And if you've enjoyed this episode, then tell your friends. And join me next week's episode where we'll be covering age-related macular degeneration. Don't forget to share and subscribe. See you next time.